Money Radio, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure for me to welcome Greg Link. Greg Link is a co-author and longtime business partner with Stephen M. R. Covey and Dr. Stephen R. Covey. If you've heard those names before, it is probably in association with one of the best-selling books of all time, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, written by Stephen R. Covey, and it has been published in some 38 languages, more than 20 million copies sold, one of the best-selling books of all time, and Greg Link joins us today. Greg, thank you for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Sinclair. Thank you.
Stephen R. Covey passed away just about a year or so ago.
Yes, in July, that's correct.
And what is his legacy, and particularly what can you tell us about his legacy in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
Well, he was a visionary man and very pragmatic. He was an extraordinary principle-centered leader and had a desire and a passion to share that with others. And he was able to develop content, kind of a roadmap, if you will, for all the rest of us, for all in time to follow. It's interesting, speaking of his passing, Jim Collins, who's the author of Good to Great, that we're all familiar with, made the comment in the foreword that he wrote for the new 25-year anniversary edition of The 7 Habits that no person lasts forever, but books and ideas can endure. So there's the legacy. He said, Stephen R. Covey's life is done, but his work is not. It continues right here in this book, as alive today as when first written. And I think that's the greatest legacy he could leave us. And the other one would be his example. He walked his talk. He lived what he taught, which is rare in leadership.
And I've heard that about him. How would you say so? How did he walk that talk?
He walked the talk, and he had some pretty aspirational content in the 7 Habits and principles that he was suggesting that we all live up to, and he lived up to it in himself. He valued his family. He was honorable in all of his dealings. He was very affirming when you met him, regardless of your station in life. When he shook your hand, he was with you, he was present, he was available to you, he cared about people, he cared about each individual, and his behavior in his parenting and leadership skills and running his business, etc., he was fair to all of the stakeholders, he was generous, I mean, just on and on. Every principle that's embodied in this book was embodied in his behavior day to day, day in and day out for the 27 years I had the privilege of being associated with him.
And why do you think that this book, because there have been many good books written about management and how to become a leader, how to improve our personal lives, why do you think this one really became such a huge, huge influence in society?
I think it was, again, Stephen's gift of being able to take common sense, as he called it, which was, he acknowledged, was not common practice. He felt that these principles were not created by him. He merely identified them and organized them into an operating system that allowed us to understand some of the puts and takes of life and how to develop our character. The original subtitle of the 7 Habits book in 1989 was Restoring the Character Ethic. It was based upon his bicentennial study of leadership and self-help literature starting back at the beginning of the country here in America. And then around, for the first 150 years, it was all based on character. And then around 50 years ago in the roaring 20s, et cetera, it started to shift to the personality ethic, you know, the dress for success, the more superficial things. And he was saying that the true test of character and the true test of leadership and influence is a person's character. It's who they are, and do they walk their talk. And so this formula that he created, it's as simple as it is, it's not simplistic. And it really resonated with people as they read it. People can validate it from their own experience. It's what your grandmother and grandfather taught you. And so it makes sense. And then beyond that, he made it extraordinarily practical and applicable to people's lives. So I think people resonate with it. And the other thing I would give credit to is timing. Although How to Win Friends and Influence People was published in 1935, and it still has an influence. And so there were a lot of the similar ideas in Stephen's book in 1989. But I think Stephen was really the first one to organize it in a way that people could resonate with. And there's been a lot of influence and legacy of others that have copied and stood on the shoulders of Stephen's work. So it was timing.
And Stephen Covey did quite a bit of speaking. I mean, he went out and talked to people. And I think that was a huge part of passing that word along. Let's dig into, though, some of the basics, because even though there have been 20 million copies sold, there's still a lot of people who may have heard the phrase seven habits of highly effective people, but don't actually know what those seven habits are. So let's start with the habits.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and there's a lot of us who have read the book 20 years ago and need to take advantage of the opportunity to read it again.
Yeah, indeed. So let's go through some of the basic habits, some of the seven habits, and
sure.
Touch on some of those points that really help define effectiveness. And the first one, as I recall, is be proactive. That's good advice right there.
Absolutely. One of the shorthand ways that Stephen used to help people understand the seven habits is to use a computer metaphor. And habit one is be proactive. You are the programmer. You write the program. You write the script to your life. You're not a victim. You have the ability to do it. And then habit two is if you have written the program, if you are the programmer, then you need to write the program, which is habit two. Begin with the end in mind. Lay out what it is you're going to stand for. And then habit three is to live the program, to run the program, to put first things first and walk your talk, if you will. Have personal integrity and live what you say you stand for.
So just starting on those first three habits, be proactive, begin with the end in mind and write that program, but put first things first. It's really laying out a bit of a roadmap for how to become more effective, how to become a better personal character, improve our personal character. You got to have some kind of a map to follow in the first place, right?
Absolutely. And Stephen called this a private victory. You know, you basically need to start in your own circle of influence and have this private victory. You first have got to be independent before you can become interdependent with others. And the first three habits are what he called the private victory that preceded the public victory. You get your own act together before you go out and act upon the world.
And then going for the public victory, that interdependence, habit number four was think win-win. That's a phrase that's just become part of the lexicon now.
It is part of the lexicon, certainly, Stephen, again, didn't try to take credit for coining it, but it certainly is his work that has made it thought. Because really, you know, that's the ultimate question to ask ourselves in any interaction, any relationship, business or personal or otherwise, is what's my motive? And, you know, am I looking for mutual benefit? Do I want both parties to benefit from this interaction? Or have I got some ulterior selfish motive? And by just starting from that frame of mind to have the mutual benefit of both parties involved shifted the whole nature of your relationships and your interaction.
And I think we've kind of lost sight of that as being such an important thing. There tends to be an attitude of get mine now while the getting is good and then get out. But that really doesn't work over time.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's not sustainable. You know, the whole me generation and the being selfish and having a scarcity mentality that there's a limited amount of abundance or opportunity. And the better thing is to have the abundance mentality that both of us can win, then we can make the pie bigger together. And to really do that, we need to first seek to, you know, habit five, which is the one he struggled with and I struggled with the most, is seek first to understand, then to be understood. You know, it's really trying to get in the other person's moccasins, walk a mile in their shoes, as we've all heard, and understand their circumstances before we jump into our agenda.
And then the idea of synergize as well, another phrase that has become part of the lexicon. You can't really synergize until you think about that win-win proposition, until you try to understand the person sitting across the table from you.
And then if you seek mutual benefit, the two people together, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 or more is the whole idea of synergy. And you can be more creative. You have a much more engaging life. And the more that you add value to others, they want to reciprocate. It's reciprocal. They want to reciprocate and add value to you. And so it really does change the dynamics, particularly these public victory habits change the dynamics in teams and organizations.
And number 7, this one was always a fun one, sharpen the saw.
Yeah, right. You know, we're always too busy driving to stop and get gas, as he used to say. And sharpening the saw, taking care of the goose that lays the golden eggs, being our person, we've got to have not only our character strength together, but we've got to have our physical and our mental and our spiritual selves together to be our best selves in this challenging world. And this whole idea of sharpening the saw and staying fit, if you will, mentally and spiritually and socially, as well as physically, so that we could be our best selves and face the challenges that we're presented with and make the most of them.
I think back, and as I've gone over some of the 7 habits, some of these things we've heard before. I remember there was a line from Abraham Lincoln. If I had 4 hours in which to cut a tree, I'd spend the first 3 hours sharpening my axe. When it comes,
absolutely.
So that's sharpen the saw there. Be proactive. Twain said something to the effect of the secret to getting ahead is getting started. Habits 4 and 5. Well, that's basically just the golden rule, isn't it? These are some old ideas, some ancient wisdom that were updated and put together
Stephen,
in an orderly
Stephen,
manner.
Absolutely, and Stephen expressed that. He says, you know, it's common sense, it's just not common practice. People don't seem to live it. And right now, as we go into the new year here, habit 2 comes to mind. You know, I thought of this as Stephen's funeral, and habit 2, begin with the end in mind. He asked us to envision our own funeral and what we'd like to be said of us as our reputation at that time in passing. So it was very cathartic being at Stephen's funeral. But his whole idea at the beginning of the new year, everybody's tendency is to jump in and start writing down goals and tasks and things to do. And really, we need to step back and ask ourselves, you know, what do we want to be known for? What do we value? What's most important? What are we trying to accomplish? And then do the others. You know, we write the program first. He used the phrase, he said, so often we are so busy trying to climb the ladder of success, we get to the top and realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. And habit 2, begin with the end in mind, really helps us decide what wall is that leaning on? What is our financial and our personal and career and family goals? What do we really want to be known for? And so I would suggest to people this time of year that that's something that would be an opportunity to reflect before we get into the goal setting. And then first things first is to run the program, to do what you said you were going to do. And that's kind of the secondary part of getting something accomplished.
We're talking with Greg Link. He is co-author and longtime business partner with Dr. Stephen R. Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and it is now in its 25th anniversary edition with over 25 million copies sold now. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking with Greg Link, co-author and longtime business partner with Stephen R. Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. there's a lot going on to continue to bring these seven habits to more and more people.
Yeah, you mentioned legacy in the beginning there, Sinclair, and the reality is the other legacy that he's left is the Franklin Covey Company, where we teach these principles and teach seven habits and speed of trust in over 100 countries around the world. As you mentioned, it's translated into 38 languages, so we have partners all over the world that are teaching these principles. And interesting sidelight, in Japan, The Seven Habits is the best-selling foreign book translated into Japanese in history. It sold over 1 million copies in Japan. It has been very successful all throughout Asia and Europe and around the world.
This really is a way to empower people, not just for management, not just for business, but really a person's character. That can be as important or more important than anything else. I talked with a friend recently, and I said, what is one of the things that you're most proud of? And he said, I think I've been a real good father, and I've tried to be a good father to my children. That also is part of what can be learned from The Seven Habits. Not just a business book, not just a way of management, even though it's been used in that way. It's really about personal relationships as well.
Absolutely. The way Stephen used to express that is, nobody on their deathbed ever wished that they spent more time at the office. There's more to life than just the economic side of our, and it's certainly an important aspect of our life. And by living these seven habits, they are career critical. We'll be more successful in our business and our relationships. We'll have more influence. We'll get all those benefits. But the most important benefit that we get is better relationships, because at the end of the day, the deathbed literature suggests that people are concerned about their relationships, their families, and their friends. And that's kind of what it's all about, Alfie, if you will.
This has gone on, though, to a lot of other people writing books on management, books on being effective and efficient and productive. Dr. Covey was really kind of the one of the leaders, certainly, in that movement in America, was he not?
Yeah, like I say, it was a timing when he first started. That's how I got involved with him, when he first started to consider writing The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He first went to Tom Peters and Ken Blanchard. Ken Blanchard's the one known as the One-Minute Manager. Their books had been successful, In Search of Excellence and One-Minute Manager, in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So in the late 80s, when he started to approach The Seven Habits, he asked them what they would do differently, and he said, well, they both told him that don't count on your publisher to do everything. You got to hire your own person. And I was fortunate enough to become that person a couple years before the book came out, and so I was able to help shape the strategy, and because it is such a powerful and important message. And so we're just really grateful how well it's been received, and we hope that it'll continue. As Jim Collins said, it's an opportunity to reread it. It's still alive, even though Dr. Covey's passed on.
The book is now in its 25th year. The 25th anniversary edition is now available, and you can find that on at bookstores and online booksellers. And is there a website that you could also send us to if folks would like to find out more about The Seven Habits?
Yeah, absolutely. They should go to franklincovey.com, and there's a personal effectiveness quotient that is a free survey that helps people determine how effective they are, and they can find that there, as well as other services and things that they may be interested in. Just one comment about the new book. We were fortunate enough to have Jim Collins write the foreword for the 25th anniversary edition. And to do that, Jim has the integrity. He's a researcher, as you all know, and he reread the book. And so the foreword from Jim Collins is worth the new copy of the book in its own right, just to read that. And there's also some messages in there from the Covey family about their father that answer some of the questions you've been asking me today more eloquently than I have.
FranklinCovey.com, and the book, of course, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Greg Link, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sinclair. Appreciate you.